Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Asotara Sata Shri Srimadis Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, good morning. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 15th chapter, 8th verse. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Gavastantye vayantrita. Haranti balimayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Gavastantye vayantritaha. Haranti balim ayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Gavastantye vayantrita. Haranti balimayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Please chant. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Gavastantye vayantrita. Haranti balimayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Gavastantye vayantrita. Haranti balimayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Haranti balimayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Gavastantye vayantrita. Haranti balimayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Gavastantye vayantrita. Haranti balimayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Yasya vacha praja sarva. Gavastantye vayantrita. Haranti balimayatas. Tasmai mukhyaya te namaha. Yasya, of whom? Vacha, by the Vedic directions. Praja, living entities. Sarva, all. Gava, bulls. Tantya, by a rope. Iva, as. Yantritaha, are directed. Haranti, offer, take away. Balim, presentation. Ingredients for worship. Ayataha, under control. Tasmai, unto him. Mukhyaya, unto the chief person. Te, unto you. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All the living entities within the universe are conducted by the Vedic directions, as a bull is directed by the rope attached to its nose. No one can violate the rules laid down in the Vedic literatures. To the chief person who has contributed the Vedas, we offer our respect. Please repeat. All the living entities within the universe are conducted by the Vedic directions, as a bull is directed by the rope attached to its nose. No one can violate the rules laid down in the Vedic literatures. To the chief person who has contributed the Vedas, we offer our respect. Purport. The Vedic literatures are the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot violate the injunctions given in the Vedic literatures any more than one can violate the state laws. Any living creature who wants real benefit in life must act according to the direction of the Vedic literature. I'll say that again. Any living creature who wants real benefit in life must act according to the direction of the Vedic literature. The conditioned souls who have come to this material world for material sense gratification are regulated by the injunctions of the Vedic literature. Sense gratification is just like salt. One cannot take too much or too little, but one must take some salt in order to make one's foodstuff palatable. Those conditioned souls who have come to this material world should utilize their senses according to the direction of the Vedic literature. Otherwise, they will be put into a more miserable condition of life. No human being or demigod can enact no human being or demigod can enact laws like those of the Vedic literature, because the Vedic regulations are prescribed by the Supreme Lord. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshudun Militam Yena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamam Vande Shri Guru Dinatarina Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vutale Shamati Bhakti Tirtha Swami Tinamine Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Shudamine Shri Guru Guru Shakti Bhakti Tirtha Tinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasvapya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gauda Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Jai Hare Krishna. So the demigods are continuing to offer their prayers and respects to Lord Brahma. There's two things for me that stood out when I first read this verse. First thing was just the use, I can't see it, of the exclamation mark in the at the very end where they say they offer their respects to Lord Brahma. And I was thinking that I don't notice like a lot of verses where there's an exclamation mark like that. I don't know if anybody can think of any off the top of their head, but so it just kind of stood out for me that they're very enthusiastically offering their respects to Lord Brahma. And the other thing also was the culture that's being displayed here. They don't just, you know, go to him and they're not just like, hey, what's going on? Because they're concerned about these events that they're witnessing and they want to know what it's about. but they don't just approach him directly, and that's just all they say to him. They just want to come for what they want. They give respects and sweet words and kindness, and they offer that first, and then they understand that by pleasing him, then they will receive the knowledge that they're interested in getting. They'll get what they're looking for. Just like when a guest arrives, and it's said that we should offer them water and a seat and kind words, at the very least, should always offer that when a guest comes to the home. Or how in the other cultural things, like how in the Mahabharat, during the war, at the end of the day, although they were on opposing sides, the soldiers or everyone could still approach each other, and not necessarily as enemies. Or like when Jarasandha was fighting with Bhima, and of course Arjuna and Krishna were there. And they would fight in the day, and then in the evening, they would be together as if they were friends. So this culture is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is very prominent. So we heard that all the living entities are conducted by the Vedic directions, and Brahma gave it to them. Or in this case, he gave it to the demigods after having received the Vedic instruction himself from the Supreme Lord. And the demigods are acknowledging his greatness because of that. Just like we worship Srila Prabhupada, because for us, he is the person who brought the Vedas to us. Either directly or through his disciples. And either way, we all have a duty, everyone has a duty to establish our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And we do this by studying his books, by reading about his life, reading his conversations, hearing about him from those who had personal experiences with him. And then not only do we, also we come together regularly to hear the Bhagavatam. And for us, the Bhagavatam really wouldn't be complete without Srila Prabhupada's purports. Not only do we study them, but also there's the necessity of applying them in our own lives. And once we experience the benefit of applying them, what we learn, then we naturally want to share it with others. So, but now in the world, unfortunately, it's more like anti-Vedas or anti-Vedic culture. And we're suffering because for the most part, the Vedic injunctions are not being followed. And so everything in the world now is topsy-turvy, just backwards, upside down. Yeah, and that part of the verse says, although the living entities within the universe are conducted by the Vedic directions, as a bull is directed by the rope attached to its nose, all the living entities are. So that example I thought was interesting because, yeah, and what happens when we try to swerve from that, then because the ring is attached to the bull's nose, and so we try to swerve from that, then there's pain. And so that's what we're experiencing now, is the pain of the not following and not understanding the importance of the Vedic literatures. Some examples are, just the rampant killing of animals, even for not even for, you know, for well, for food, which is we know is unnecessary, but also for other reasons, just for sport, for violent sport, fighting. So this brings so much fighting over land, and the land actually belongs to Krishna, but we put our, as Prabhupada says, we draw a line and our mark there, and we say this is mine and that's mine, and then we proceed to fight over it. Then of course there's the breakdown of the family. So many bad marriages, broken families. I experience at school, I regularly have had students who come to school with their suitcase, because on Friday, you know, they go home, they spend the week with mom, and then Friday they go home with dad. So they come with their suitcase, and they drop it off in the office, and then they have to go. I mean, it's sad. It's very sad. It's like a kind of insanity, you know, the things that are happening now. So everyone who's left to their own devices, if we just continue to just kind of, you know, everyone is doing what they think is the right thing, because we have quote unquote freedom. Don't tread on my freedom. But what is this freedom? How is it being used? Because we are conditioned souls, then usually our freedom always results in the form of some violence to another conditioned soul. So we can see that the limitations, there's so many limitations when we're trying to do things without God in the center, without Krishna in the center. So and Krishna tells us that it's okay, we can enjoy, like we heard in the verse, there's, you know, we need some salt. Some salt is necessary, but too much is no good. And we have to enjoy in a responsible way. But now there's, for example, it's already kind of an old hat thing that, you know, people don't necessarily get married, they just live together. So that's not even shocking anymore, because they don't want the burden of marriage, because they're feeling like, well, who knows if we're even going to stay together, so let's just live together. So that's just a normal thing now. But then, now it's even become where sometimes more and more people, they don't even want the burden of a relationship. So instead of having a relationship with a human, then there's the opportunity of having, you know, your AI girlfriend or whatever. So, and it's like, so now, you know, you don't even have to be bothered with dealing with a person. You can just make the person that you want as perfect as you want and just interact with that person. So this is where we're heading, you know, just further and further into degradation. I read one book, it's an educational book, about something happening in Japan, but I'm quite sure it's more widespread, and that particularly with young men, how they'll get into this, just this really addiction, you know, for being online. And then there's almost like no life outside. Even they might even work, but they work from home. And it's a thing where they just stay in their rooms all the time. They're just in their room all day on the computer doing, you know, Krishna knows what. And it's just like a normal thing. And so it's increasing more and more, just this lack of connection with others and just becoming, well, I'm just into myself. I just want to do my own thing in my own way, create my own little world. You know, they have those virtual reality, like goggles kind of things. And it's just like, you can have it your way. Just see what you want to see and deal with who you want to deal with, and you don't have to have, you know, these pesky people who annoy me. They don't have to be in my life. But this is extremely, extremely unhealthy. We see also that, you know, most people are willing to work so hard for sense gratification, so much that has to be done. But the animals, we hear from Srila Prabhupada so often that the animals, they don't have to work for sense gratification. It's naturally there. And for us, it's actually the same, but we have the idea, most people have the idea that I have to do so much, work so hard, pay so much, but animals are there, they don't have any insurance bills, they don't have car payments, they don't have any of that, but they have their quota of sense gratification. So it's pretty clear, it's evident that the need is there for understanding the Vedas and for following them. But sometimes it can be challenging. There are aspects of the Vedic culture and Vedic literatures that, because of our conditioning, they're difficult to accept. Can anyone think of something like that? Some aspect of Vedic culture that's challenging? Everything. Okay. All right. So for example, we hear, there's so many things, like, for example, that Srila Prabhupada. Oh, go ahead. She said that a person came from Krishna house and was inquiring, why is it that the lamp always goes to the men's side first? Why can't it go to the women's side first? Sometimes. We can take turns. Yeah. Yeah, so there are so many things. Sorry? What is the answer? Okay, so starting tomorrow we alternate. No? That's not the answer. What is the answer?
Men does the arutik, men does, and then most of the men join in their kirtan and others. So it goes like this. In Vedic culture, ladies would sit in the back. It's nothing wrong. I don't think anything wrong.
Okay. Sorry? Okay.
Well,
okay, so coming. No, we're not ready for comments and questions yet, please.
How about in Vrindavan?
It's not time for the joke yet, Stita Dimuni Prabhu.
Well, it's serious. How about the gopis? Don't they do puja? The gopis aren't advanced enough to do puja?
Yes.
Oh, they are? Oh, good. They don't go to traditional Indian culture.
Okay. So there's an example right there. So yeah. So there are all these things about women that women can find challenging to accept. So we'll get to that. But there's also, I'm going to take it a step further. There are also things about people in black bodies that have been said that are in the scriptures and that are also very challenging for people to accept. So I wanted to go there for a few minutes, just because recently there was a devotee posted an article, and the article had put together all of these, so many quotes from Srila Prabhupada, and if you about people in black bodies. And if you just look at that and you don't know anything else, you could get the impression that, oh, is this person racist or what's going on here? So in the article, I actually didn't fully read the whole thing, but I did, someone commented on it, and I really appreciated his commentary. And anyway, the point, I guess I wanted to share, like for me, why I don't let those things disturb me. Because I feel like, who else really at this right now, who else is going to talk about it if I don't say anything, you know? So, and I'm not like trying to comment on the article or anything because I'm not anywhere near shastric enough to get involved in that and make comments online and all of that. But I did want to share, I from my understanding, Srila Prabhupada appreciated if we spoke according to our understanding. So I just want to speak like that. And so I think for me, when I came to this movement, I had a very deep desire for truth. And you know, I remember there's this movie, it's an old movie from maybe the 80s or 90s, and there's it's maybe Jack Nicholson or something, I can't remember. But it's a military movie, and there's a court scene, and in the court scene, the one person says something about, we want to hear the truth, tell us the truth. And then the guy says, the truth, you can't handle the truth. And so I was thinking, well, truth is like that. Sometimes truth is it's difficult to handle. It's not easy to accept because it doesn't appeal to our senses. And for the most part, this is what I like, is what appeals to my senses. But it seemed to make sense to me that of people who have similar karma and similar general tendencies, they might take birth and have similar types of bodies or be in the similar type of environment and like that. And, I didn't find anything challenging in accepting that. And I never thought, we get so much from Srila Prabhupada and such a clear understanding of the love that he has for all of us. You know, he came here, we all know the story of everything that he went through. It wasn't that he just did that only for a certain group of people. He did that for everyone. And the opportunity is there for all of us to become fully Krishna conscious in this life if we choose to do so. So for me, that was always very, very clear. So I just kind of see it kind of as like a race. You know, this is the finish line is Goloka Vrindavan. It's where we're trying to get to. And along the track, different people are at different places because of what? Because of our own choices that we've made. So it might be that somebody's closer, might be that somebody's further away, somebody's out there, over there. But the important thing is that now we're on the track, because many people, unfortunately, many souls are still sleeping. So they're not even, if you're still asleep, how can you even be in the race? But at least I feel like, okay, now I'm awake, not woke, but awake. And I have the opportunity to be in the race. So let me just do my part and not worry about, you know, who might be ahead of me. There's always going to be people who are ahead of me. There are always going to be people who are behind me. It doesn't really matter. And there's always tests. There are tests. You know, one time I was reading. Now, I read many things, in the Bhagavatam and different conversations where Prabhupada says things that are like a little, you know, hard to swallow. But and here's an example. But for me, it's one thing to accept it internally for myself. But then if I'm around other people and I have to deal with it, then it's the next level of challenge. So here's one section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is in where Lord Chaitanya is going through to the Jarikanda forest. And, you know, he stops through, and we know the part about the animals and everything, but there's more. So then just two verses from there. This is CC Madhya 1753 and 54. I'll just read the English. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jarikanda on his way to Mathura, he found that the people there were almost uncivilized and devoid of God consciousness. And then the purport is very short. The word bila refers to a class of men belonging to the Bhils. The Bhils are like black Africans, and they are lower than Shudras. Such people generally live in the jungle, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to meet them. So one time, I'm reading. I already knew that this was there, and I'm reading. But this time I'm reading with the group, with two ladies, both of them Indian-bodied, and me. And I was thinking, I knew this was coming, and I was thinking, please, Krishna, I don't want to. Please don't make me. I don't want to read that part. I don't want to read that part. And of course, Krishna, being who he is, I had to read this and out loud in front of these other two ladies. So it's like, it's challenging. Because it's one, as I said, it's one thing to accept it for myself, but then around other people. But I'm going to read the next verse too, but I just wanted to say, why I think about why it's challenging to accept these things. Well, one reason is attachment. Because I think that I'm this body, I still think that I'm this body. So because this body is who I think I am, so if I hear something that's not positive, anything less than stellar about this body, then of course it's going to be difficult for me to accept it because I like this body, you know? So, I don't want to hear that this body is less of anything than someone else's body because this is the body that I'm in. But then there's the next verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave even the Bhils an opportunity to chant the holy name and come to the platform of ecstatic love. Thus he delivered all of them. Who has the power to understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord? So I think the important thing really is that the opportunity was given to everyone. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the first person to start that he gave the opportunity for pure love of God to everyone, despite whatever the background may be, it's there. So for me, if I think of myself as, okay, I have to really work hard because I have this, all this stuff, you know, which everybody could think like that. Really, it's safer if I think that I'm a very fallen person and I have a lot of stuff I need to work off. So let me really try my hardest to become Krishna conscious. So for me, that's the way I try to think of it. And that's fine for me, but the problem is The real problem, I think, the crux of the problem is mistreatment. No one wants to be mistreated. Yeah? I think everybody can agree with that. Yeah. So that's where the problem comes in. So just in the same way that, okay, I'm seeing myself as, most fallen, then everyone, really, we should all think of ourselves in that way. But what happens when we, even actually there was a few, I don't know, maybe 2 years back or so, some of you probably remember, there was one politician in India who said that, oh, we should get rid of this Sanatan Dharma. You all remember that? Maybe everybody's heard. Anyway, so he said we should get rid of Sanatan Dharma. And his reason was because Sanatan Dharma is where the caste system comes from, and the caste system is, so many people are being mistreated and like this and like that. So this is a person from India saying this. So, but the problem is that it's not the caste system, it's the fact that the caste system, the way that it is minus Krishna. So when you take Krishna out of anything, then of course it's not going to work properly. Then it's going to become just people who are materialistic, who are mistreating others because I'm thinking I'm this body, and this body is better than your body, so I'm going to mistreat you because I have a better body. So this is not Sanatan Dharma. So this is why it's important that we be able to, we have to understand these things and be able to explain them to others. Because even a big politician who's from India is saying that Sanatan Dharma is no good. So we have to be able to counteract that and contradict that. Yeah, so then I just want to read a little piece here. So getting back to the point about women, there's a conversation here where Prabhupada is speaking with some disciples, but he kind of gives a nice summary that I just wanted to share here. Because it was all about, some people were, it was the thing about the brain and how the women's brain is smaller, and some people were then very upset about that and like that. Although I'll say, yesterday I was looking up, I went to like 3 or 4 different places and I was on the websites and I was looking to see like what is the weight of a man's brain and the weight of a woman's brain. Is there really a difference? And actually it did say that in general, that the men's brains are bigger. So, okay, but so this is the thing. So, but if, the thing is, maybe my brain is smaller, okay, but if you treat me like an idiot, then that's where the problem is, That's the thing. So Prabhupada says, that is bad experience. Oh, because just before, Brahmananda Prabhu says, but they feel so angry, this talking about women, but they feel so angry from the exploitation that they cannot accept that actually a man could protect them. Prabhupada, that is bad experience, but the ideal is different. Ideal is that man must be first class and he must be responsible to take care of the woman, and she should be given all protection, all necessities. That is the duty of man, just like father takes the charge of his daughter. Similarly, husband should take charge of the woman, and similarly, elder sons also took charge of the woman. The father never exploits the daughter. He gives all protection. That is the duty of the husband also. When she is grown up, she cannot remain under the protection of father. She is given, therefore, to a suitable boy, to take charge. But the charge is the same, to give protection, all comforts. And because there is no first-class man to take charge of the woman, they are declaring independence. All the men are doing that. They keep girlfriend, make her pregnant, and goes away. So again, I guess I just want to make the point that it isn't the culture. The problem is not the culture. The problem is that because we don't have the proper experience, then we're not really doing things properly. So then how to counteract that? Well, obviously there's training is required. But even before that, there's the basics. And the basics are that we follow. Prabhupada gave us a program to follow. And we follow that strictly. And when we follow that program, then we become more and more purified. And we interact with each other in the proper way. I had an experience, actually very recently, as recently as this morning, because the last couple of days, few days, I've been like sick. And when I'm sick, unfortunately means japa is no good. And so I've been noticing that how little things have been really bothering me. And I haven't been coming for the morning program because I haven't been able to sleep and blah, 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 blah. But I've noticed that how little things are bothering me. Like I had an experience in school just a couple days ago where students said something that was not very nice. And every first year teacher knows that kids say things that, and you just really can't take it seriously because many of them, they're having these, they're having these bad situations at home, and they come and they have all this turmoil, and sometimes, you know, you're the authority, you become the target, the teacher. But it's just kind of something that goes with the job, and you learn how to not to take it personally. But somehow it just was so disturbing for me. And then I was also having really a hard time like just preparing for the class. Everything was just so challenging. So this morning I made it a point to make sure to get up very early, finish all my japa, and then I sat down to add to things that I wanted to say today. And I noticed immediately how everything was so much more clearer and how I felt so much stronger. And I thought about, like my spiritual master would say, if your sadhana is not good, it's like going out on the battlefield without your weapons. You know, so you show up on the battlefield and you're saying, hey, I'm here, I don't have any, you're my enemy, I don't have any weapons or any armor, but don't hurt me, okay? And it's like, yeah, right, you know? So that's what it's like. And yeah, so I think I wanted to also share that today. I mean, it was just very quick. It's been just a couple of days, but that's how it is. So it's just very important that the japa has to be strong. That coming to the morning program is so important. Coming and getting the association of those, I like to call them the Maharatas, those who come regularly and are very steady, and they're freely giving their association. So I have to come and take advantage of that. I have to come, and if I can't sit in the class, I have to at least make sure to hear it, because it's recorded, I can hear it later on. Not exactly the same, but still, it's better than not hearing it at all. So these things are very important. They're what keep us strong, and they're what keep us going. And this is how we'll be able to, because it's a whole thing, you know, how to introduce Varnashram and all of that, and the more Vedic culture. And yeah, it's not an easy thing, but it starts with ourselves, each individual making sure to do their part. And our part is what? To follow the practices that were given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And then we'll see that we don't become easily disturbed. We won't become easily disturbed by things that are going on, things that other people do, things that other people say, things that we read and maybe we misunderstand. These things won't disturb us because we'll understand that the goal, what is the goal? I want to get to that finish line. That's what's really important. So let me do what I need to do to be able to get there. And then when all is said and done, we also can cry. We can cry, but cry for Krishna. So we just read this actually, this is from the fourth chapter of this same canto. And this is Vidura. I'll just read this quickly and then finish. Understanding that he was remembered by Lord Krishna while quitting this world, Vidura began to cry loudly, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love. And then Prabhupada says, Vidura was overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love when he understood that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thought of him at the last moment. Although he thought of himself as insignificant, he was remembered by the Lord, by his causeless mercy. Vidura accepted this as a great favor, and thus he cried. This crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. So we'll stop there. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you
for taking that seat and offering back the Bhagavatam. I guess when I was hearing you speak, a few things came. And one was that I think for most of us that have chanted Hare Krishna enough or been around enough, for me, it's not even so much a body anymore. I mean, because it's the mind, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it, or for me personally, it's like, even though, yes, we interact with bodies, but I feel like it's the mind that needs the more of the discipline. And then I do see that higher than the mind is the intellect. And I know that I've heard that if Krishna gives you this much intelligence and you don't use it, why would he give you this much intelligence, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that transcends a body, you know? So a lot of these things transcend just being in a body. And like you said, ultimately, it's to cross that finish line. Like, we're all trying to go back home. Mm-hmm. So that also has very little to do with the body. Mm-hmm. And, that's just my thoughts on different bodies.
Thank you for sharing. Marumati has...
So Kadashi, mm-hmm. not only that you're in black body, mm-hmm. and you're a woman, so you're pretty fortunate. If you were a scientist, then another blow to you. I mean, if you look at Srila Prabhupada's books, and that's my conclusion, mm-hmm. no matter who you are, Srila Prabhupada gives it to you. Mm-hmm. You know, Prabhupada said about householders, you know, and he says illicit or licit sex, mm-hmm. either way it's all mm-hmm. not. So you can read Prabhupada's books and he smashes everybody. Mm-hmm. But you know, and I know, And we all know it's out of love, mm-hmm. out of care. Mm-hmm. It is, that's where it's coming from. He loved and he cared for everybody. But yes, he does smash everybody. Mm-hmm. He smashes everybody. Yeah. Even the Indians. Even the Indians. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's the thought that whenever I think about anybody, I think that way, that how he, it's yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Divyanga Prabhu.
This is going quick. Oh. Well, one thing I always appreciate the Vedas, right? They don't say anything about the Jewish people.
Okay, now Divyanga Prabhu will.
Thank you for the nice class. I just have personal experience when I share, and I've been sharing this for 50 years with women. As soon as you say that somebody's going to take charge of them, whether it's the husband, the father, the son, you lose them right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't blame them because the men are lame. 99% of the men are lame too. Mm-hmm. But and you can't. So when you say you're always going to be controlled by a man, my sisters and people, not Kathy, but my other. They're just like, what is this? This is crazy. This is caveman stuff. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do? That's the jiva has the choice then, you know, to be humble or to fight it. And it's just amazing how you told that story about the black Africans. And there's more. In the old Bhagavad Sounds, it's worse. But your attitude is what saved you, you know. And thank you for sharing that, because I never thought of it that way because, you know, because I'm white. but the women, and I've talked to my black devotee friends too, and they're not that, they say, yeah, we're fallen. Prabhupada said, black body means black past. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of quotes. Mm-hmm. And but they don't get hostile like the women. Mm-hmm. As soon as you say you're going to be controlled by a man from the very beginning until you're dead, they just go, no, not me. Anyway, good luck with that.
I mean, these are definitely not points that it's not what you want to say to someone the first time you're introducing Krishna consciousness to them. You might probably not going to share that, but you know, we have to. I had an experience also reading Bhagavad Gita with some newer ladies, and this part I didn't remember. It's right in the first chapter, one of the 40th verses or something. In the purport, Prabhupada says something about women not being trustworthy, something along those lines. And I was like, oh my God, how, what can I? So I listened, I don't remember how, what, but somehow I listened to classes on that verse, and I got a lot of insight by doing that, hearing from others speak on that verse. And then I was able to share with them, and I'm just grateful to that my guru gave me the intelligence to make it so that they, because they at first they were a little offended, you know, obviously, but we were able to kind of clean it up. Yeah, go ahead, Prabhu.
So thank you for being so brave mm-hmm. to bring up the points that you did. And the first thing that came to my mind when you were speaking about the in that CC purport. Just as Srila Prabhupada said when he was talking about, you know, women not being intelligent, then he strengthened that statement by saying, but these are not ordinary women. Mm-hmm. So the same way I feel the blacks or any mm-hmm. race are not ordinary blacks that come to our movement, mm-hmm. et cetera. It mm-hmm. applies to every race. Mm-hmm. So please don't relate yourself to mm-hmm. any of that. Mm-hmm.
One more comment.
Yes.
Years ago, when I was in the movement, we had only been in the movement,
I don't know, I think less than a year, definitely less than two. And my husband did not want to stay. So because of other reasons, he allowed me to stay, and my son, who's in the Gurukula. And he said he was going to go work, and then he would come back at some point. So at one point, he decided he would come back. It was a little later than he had stated, but when he had come back, I was already doing traveling Sankirtan and things like that. But someone in my party said, well, your husband is coming back. You can't go out. You know, you need to stay back. And so they said, we're not taking you until you talk to, you know, it was Kirtanananda at the time. And so I went out on the road, and he happened to be coming by, so I flagged him down, and I said, look, this is the situation. What do I do? And he said, do you feel protected by your husband? And I thought about it, and I said, no. I said, I feel protected by devotional service. And he hit the steering wheel, and he said, then go do your service, right? And so it comes back to that, do you feel protected? You know, what is the offering? What is the loving exchanges that are going on between male and female, you know? And if it doesn't resonate, or if you feel like it's, you know, of course you can be patient, and you can wait it out, and you can be loyal, you know, and all of that. However, I guess for everybody, depending on if you're unevenly yoked, you know, as it sometimes says, then there's always going to be this push and pull and this struggle, and then no one becomes Krishna conscious, you know. So, so the protection is, Prabhupada wants us to be protected.
Yeah, and ultimately we all have to get to that point that we feel protected, fully protected by our devotional service. Means I feel full protection by Krishna, from Krishna. Okay. Got it. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.